Henry, first of all, just you've been in Lawrence for a year now. And what have you learned about KU fans and the KU community, and you know how they consume your content?
Well, they are certainly absolutely ravenous, and I think the interest is even greater than it has been at any other point in history, because football is so much more of an entity than it was at any other point. I feel very fortunate to do the job I do, and particularly at this point in history when there is such widespread interest across a variety of athletic programs, and I am excited to continue sharing stories that people are interested in across a variety of sports, really.
Yeah, all this talk is about, you know, the new expanded Big 12. Obviously, you are a Cronkite School Journalism master's degree holder. Just, you know, talk about Arizona State and, you know, all the other schools and how that is going to impact the conference this upcoming year.
Yeah, I think that taking advantage of kind of a vacancy in the Western footprint of college football was smart for the Big 12. We'll see exactly what that means in terms of their long-term future. But, yeah, certainly happy to have ASU in the conference. Obviously, they were picked to finish last in the preseason poll. I did not put them there. I think I had Houston 16th in my ballot. But, you know, Arizona and Utah are going to come in and compete right away. Colorado may even be able to do so. I'm sure lots of people have lots of questions about that when Colorado speaks. But on the whole, I'm really excited to see what they contribute. I think this is actually probably a smarter expansion of the geographical footprint than even something like adding UCF.
Yeah.
On the whole, just really interested to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about KU football. Obviously, the biggest question mark on the year is going to be the health of Jalen Daniels. And, you know, I won't really go too much into detail on that because we don't know a lot of what's going to be there. But what do you think is the second biggest question for Kansas next year?
I think the pass rush. I mean, that, you know, by far the main question that national reporters have about the KU team is what's going to be the deal with Jalen Daniels. But I think maybe among local coverage of the KU football team, you see almost as much stuff about the pass rush. And that's not necessarily an unusual or new thing, because it was very much the same way the last couple of years. You know, Lonnie Phelps leaves, who's going to replace Lonnie Phelps. Now Austin Booker leaves, who's going to replace Austin Booker. But this is a particularly interesting one, because when Lonnie Phelps left, a lot of the people who were coming in, such as Booker, Patrick Joyner, and Hayden Hatcher as a returnee, had more experience playing college football than the guys who are now being counted upon to replace Booker. You know, it seems like DeShawn Warner and Dak Brinkley may get playing time as freshmen off the edge, and they would be among the first Leipold recruits to really see significant time. If so, I mean, Cole Ballard is probably one of the only people to come out of high school and actually play for Leipold in some significant way. And then, of course, besides that, you're relying on guys like Dean Miller. We don't necessarily know the status of Dylan Brooks right now because he missed the spring showcase potentially due to injury, but we don't really know the severity of that. But on the whole, there's a lot of ifs when it comes to that position group. You have no idea who's going to be able to take a step forward and to what extent. And, of course, I didn't even mention By Job, who is sort of like DeShawn Warner 1 year in the future because he's already been in a college program for a season. But lots of question marks there, and to me, with how many great quarterbacks there are coming into the Big 12 this year, I mean, KU's got to play against Shedeur Sanders, who was the preseason all-conference quarterback. You got to get pressure on the passer somehow.
Yeah, and I think Jeremy Robinson is the leader from returners for sacks last year, and it was only 3.5. So, you know, definitely a big question mark for the team. But on the other side of the defense, you may not have much in the way of pass rush, but you've got a very experienced secondary, two first-team all-preseason cornerbacks.
Yeah, I think that it's very solid with those two. Now, the question is, if any one of them has to miss time for any reason, who's next up? And it seems like probably Demaryius McGee. But, yeah, first-team all-conference recognition for both of them, which was a little bit of a surprise, but not too much. I think particularly Dotson came on toward the end of the year, and obviously everyone knows how solid Brian has been. That's a position of strength, but you can't put too much pressure on them to deliver over and over on every down, which is why you need the quarterback to be disrupted in some meaningful way. And it's also good. Safety is another one of the strongest positions this year, with Marvin Grant, OG Burroughs, and the Dye brothers. So, yeah, it'll be tough for quarterbacks, even if the defensive ends aren't necessarily doing very much.
Right. And a very deep backfield for the Jayhawks. You've got Daniel Hyshaw as the backup, who has a lot of experience, and obviously Devin Neal. You know, what do you think about, you know, with the new offensive coordinator, how that offense is, you know, with Kotelnicki it thrived, but now with Grimes, how do you think that will impact the team?
Yeah, Grimes has said all along that he really doesn't want to reinvent the wheel, and that he's come into situations in the past where he was charged with doing just that, with basically tearing down an offense starting from scratch. But at the same time, I feel like if you are a this accomplished of a college football coach, you do have a set of principles that you want to instill. So I think he may be walking a tightrope in some sense, trying to maintain someone else's system while instilling his own. Like, it'll be interesting to see just how much of Jalen Daniels under center we get,
right,
or how many screen passes we get, which were not exactly a prominent feature of the Andy Kolbnicki offense. But as far as the running backs are concerned, Hyshaw really slowed down over the course of last year. It'll be interesting to see if he can be consistent throughout. But of course, his opportunities will be limited somewhat by Neal as he goes for the all-time KU rushing record. I do think KU had kind of a nice thing going where usually, like, kind of early in the third quarter, they would take Devin out for a drive, and that would be a time for Hyshaw or Dylan McDuffie to get some run. And I guess they'll continue to strategize in that sense about when the best possible window is to get Devin Neal some rest and show off some of the other talent they have in that backfield. Even beyond Hyshaw, depending on health, guys like Sevion Morrison can make an impact, and then Johnny Thompson and Harry Stewart were the talk of the spring in some respect. So lots and lots of depth there, and even going forward into future years, you still feel pretty good about that position.
Right, and you know, all this talk about the transfer portal in college football, and the Jayhawks went and got themselves a pretty good tight end in Deshaun Hanukkah, but he obviously is now injured and won't be playing this year. What are you expecting to see? You've got Jared Casey and you've got Trevor Cardell coming back, but what are you expecting to see from the tight end spot that Coach Grimes loves to use?
Yeah, that's another potential weak point. Cardell really has all the physical specs you would hope for in a marquee pass-catching tight end. Just really doesn't have many catches on his career overall, and we need to step up quite a bit if he's going to take on that primary role, because Jared Casey is such a distinctive player.
Right.
He doesn't occupy a traditional tight end role. One good sign with that is Jeff Grimes has said he has had players like Casey in the past at some of his previous stops. So he'll have an idea of how to use him. But I think between Trevor Cardell and Leighton Cure as well, who's a little unproven, coming off an injury as well from the D2 level, but another player who has the physical tools that could lead to him being a nice pass-catching threat for Jalen Daniels.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. It was good to have somebody on the KU beat with some good perspective, and somebody who's been doing a really good job in Lawrence. I've always, in the year that you've been there, I've really liked reading your stuff. So appreciate you coming on.
You were too kind, Joe. Thank you.
All right. We've got Shrey Slata from the Kansas City Stars. Shrey, is, you know, a lot of expectations coming in for this Kansas football team this year that normally aren't there. Just how different do you think that KU football looks as opposed to in years past?
Well, I mean, you look at Media Day. We have three guys dressed in black suits because they said it means all business. I think the expectation around this team and the hope around this team is they're competing and if not winning a Big 12 title. I think the idea that Kansas competing for a Big 12 title 3 years ago when Lance Leipold first took the job would have seemed asinine. But that tells you just the turnaround he's had with this program and how excited the fan base and the team is.
Yeah, and, you know, last year Jalen Daniels came in here. You know, he had the Apple Watch with his highlights playing. And as you mentioned, a little more business-like this year from the Jayhawks. And, you know, just what does that say for how far they've come in the time that you've been here? You've been here since the Liberty Bowl in the 2022 season. So just what have you seen from that point onward?
Yeah, I think it's a team that's persevered through some tough times. I mean, the Jalen injury, the Jason Bean ending in the Liberty Bowl was tough. And, you know, he comes back for another year and he ends up playing a key role. What a redemption arc for him. And, you know, I wish him the best in his professional, hopefully, career. And just one of those things where you look at Kansas and how much expectation around this team is increased because of the fact that they've done what they've needed to do, but they've exceeded those expectations of what even last year was expected. What it was 7.5 wins last year. They had nine. They won their first bowl game since 2008. You know, they went to back-to-back bowl games for the first time 2007, 2008. And, you know, like, they did it with a backup quarterback. The backup quarterback got hurt. Cole Ballard played admirably. I think the fact that they've, even with difficult circumstances, they've thrived is something that this Kansas team would not have been able to do even, you know, 2 years ago.
Right. And I want to touch on Cole Ballard a little bit because, you know, he was thrown into the fire as a true freshman. Yes, his dad, you know, he grew up in a football family. His dad's the GM of the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. I mean, he's a big deal. But, you know, just talk about, because now there is no Jason Bean and it's Cole Ballard. And, you know, what's his role going to be if Jalen Daniels isn't able to go at some point this year?
Well, I think there's a lot of confidence in Cole Ballard. The fact they didn't go to another quarterback from the transfer portal, and they said, hey, this guy was a third-string walk-on. You're good enough to be our second string and potentially be our first QB if Jalen is still not healthy or ready or whatever, I think tells you how much the expectations they've built around Cole. I mean, you know, Lance said it best. He's had an outstanding offseason. And I think, you know, previously we talked to Lance, it feels like, and he's talked about Cole having that line between confidence and arrogance. You know, he toes that line well when he plays on the field. And I think they love how willing he is and how confident he is in his own abilities. And it showcases, you know, he's not afraid of the moment. We saw that in November. And, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, hopefully it doesn't come to fruition where, you know, Jalen's not healthy. But if it does, I feel good and confident that Cole will do an admirable job.
And I want to switch over to the other side of the ball, because there are two first-team preseason Big 12 players in Kobe and Melo, Kobe Bryant and Melo Dotson on the outside. Just, you know, what does that do for a defense, especially in a front seven who loses a lot of guys?
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge. You know, they're two veteran guys that had great years, and just the expectation around them is so, you know, high. And they're going to be counted on, I think, more than ever because of this defensive line, like you said, has question marks. Who's going to rush the passer? Who's going to stop the run as well? You know, but the biggest thing is this defense going to be able to get to the passer the way they were last year with a guy like Austin Booker, and et cetera? They've lost some key guys on that end. So that's where Kobe and Melo are going to have their work cut out for them. It might not be as easy as it was last year. And, you know, they were tremendous last year. Now, are they going to be even better this year? That's what the hope and expectation is from themselves and from the program. And, you know, I think they're going to be counted on, especially as this defensive line is really working through its kinks in the first few weeks.
Yeah, and then they bring in DK McDonald, who was, you know, he was coaching Darius Slay for the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL. And so now you bring in a DB's coach who has coached at the top of the game. So just what does that do for some college guys that are, you know, looking to take that next step into the NFL but also have a really good season this year?
I think it's a tremendous add. It's one of those things that you look at and you ask yourself, how can I make these two guys who are so good even better? And I think they went out and got a coach that, you know, now nobody could envision. I mean, Eagles won a Super Bowl not that long ago.
Right.
He was, you know, the DB's safeties coach for them. And getting the chance to teach these guys who have aspirations of playing the NFL, hope to be first or second or third round draft picks, you know, is going to be so tremendous for their own growth, but also for the growth of Kansas football. It's going to be big for the younger guys coming in from the safeties, the DBs, et cetera. But also, just, you know, I think the unit as a whole is going to be more unified under a guy who had the experience of, like, the NFL to kind of fall back on. And I think when you have a guy like that coming in, it builds a little more camaraderie in locker room. There's a lot more trust, you know, than just any other coach. Not to say that you don't trust, but the guy has credentials to back it up.
Right. And I want to talk about another new assistant coach, Jeff Grimes. And, you know, he's the new offensive coordinator for Kansas. And last year with Andy Kotelnicki, there was, I think, one play all year when they went under center and they moved Dominic Pooney from tackle into center to do it. It was a completely bizarre situation. But now you bring in Jeff Grimes, who, when in his first press conference with us, he told us, hey, you know, we're going to be able to go under center. And so what does that do to help diversify Jalen Daniels' game and the rest of this offense?
I think it's tremendous. I think it's going to make this Kansas offense that is already so tricky and so hard to deal with even more difficult to deal with. And it's going to make it an offense that is not as easy to counter. You know, they were hard to counter last year with Kotelnicki, but I think it's an offense that's going to involve more wide receivers, involve the running game in some interesting situations in different ways. And I think it's going to be some much-needed kind of, you know, new blood for this program on the offensive end. And, you know, like, we know Jeff Grimes' pedigree. He's had a tremendous year with Baylor. He had a rough year last year. But he's also helped Zach Wilson reach top three NFL draft pick heights. You know, Jalen wants to be a first-round quarterback. So maybe he can help him do that. If he can stay healthy, I think, you know, we could see a new level of Jalen Daniels reached.
And, you know, we look around Big 12 media days. You've got Taj Brooks from Texas Tech, who was fantastic against the Jayhawks in the first half. So you've got Ollie Gordon, and you've got Devin Neal. you know, where do you see Devin Neal in the running back, Big 12 running back power rankings?
I mean, I think it's Ollie Gordon and Devin Neal. I think for me, Devin is you know, the second best back in the nation. I think Taj had some more touches, so he had a little better stats last year, but I think Devin was a little more efficient with his yards per carry. I think, you know, he is continuing to get better as a receiver out of the slot, and I think I'm excited to see how he's using this offense, because I think we could see some more Devin Neal's kind of, you know, short passes, short slots passes. And I know he's excited for this coming year. And I think, you know, for everything I've known about Devin Neal, I think he's an even better than he was last year, which was pretty good.
Yeah. And, you know, he's also going to get some time. The offense is going to get some time with Daniel Hyshaw, who, you know, Devin Neal, he can kind of do it all. But we've seen Daniel Hyshaw, you know, give up some open field to go get some contact, you know. Absolutely. Just, you know, what kind of impact does that make on a defense? You're chasing around number four out there, and then, oh, number 20's coming, and he's coming for you.
He's like a battering ram. He opens up the entire, you know, kind of field for Devin and himself a little bit, right? He tires out defenses because he's going to be willing to sacrifice his body, getting those 3, 4, 5 yard gains where he pushes with his strong hips and his chest, etc. And I think it's going to make, you know, that tandem, which is already so you know, hard to cover and you know, make sure they're contained, even better. You know, like, because this Grimes offense is so creative, I think we could see a new version and a new level for this tandem.
And then this wide receiver group, because you can't talk about the wide receiver group without the trio of Quentin Skinner, Lawrence Arnold, and Luke Graham. Those three are fantastic. But then you also have guys like Trevor Wilson, who's a big, big play capability guy. You got Doug Amelian, who's out there. He's one of the most underrated downfield blockers on the team, maybe the best at it. And, you know, just what about this wide receiver core who's, you know, going to be there and they get to play with Jalen Daniels?
I think continuity in college football is so, so important. And I think the fact that Kansas has continuity with their three, you know, stud wide receivers with their star quarterback, I think he's humongous. You know, we saw them at their very best in the UNLV game, mossing people, doing things that you're like, whoa. You know, when they threw the ball, they were tremendous. And I think, you know, having that from this group that can give you different things, you know, you have, you know, Tanaka Scott, you have these guys, like all these guys who can do different things on the field well, you know, and they do it well together. I think the biggest thing with this wide receiver room is the fact of the matter that at the end of the day, there's no, like, one type of receiver.
Right.
There's multiple types of receivers that, you know, kind of intersect, and that's why they make each other better.
And the other thing that I like watching about this wide receiver group is they, you know, wide receivers are kind of known, a little bit of prima donnas, you know.
They
want the football, and, you know, they want it now. They want it yesterday. But, you know, I look back at the UCF game, and Jason Bean threw the ball 11 times, and we didn't hear anything. We didn't see any bad body language from those wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they kept a level head, and, you know, they won that game easily. And just, like, they're solid players, and they're team-first guys.
Absolutely. I think they're going to be rewarded this year. You know, I know Indy would have some games where they're not as involved, but I expect them to be as involved as any offensive group this year under the Grimes offense.
Yeah. And then back to the defensive side of the ball, you lose Rich Miller at the linebacker spot in the middle linebacker. But Cornell Wheeler, he was talked about all spring as, you know, a guy who's stepping up in the leadership categories. Just what do you think about Cornell Wheeler's prospects this year?
You know, obviously he's not going to be Rich Miller right away. But this Kansas team seems excited that he can come in and step in and do what they need him to do. Right, maybe there's a little bit of growing pains, like there will be always. But I'm excited to see what he can offer, because this is his real shot to kind of, you know, take over the role that Rich kind of held down for a minute, you know. And I think the expectation around Cornell is that he will be starting for Kansas, and he's going to be the guy directing the defense and playing that very valuable hawk role that Rich played.
Yeah, and I also want, so on the Big 12 side, you know, got four new teams into the conference. You had four new teams last year. So now it's a 16-team conference. So the schedules are going to look a little bit different. You have to look at Kansas's schedule and see it as pretty favorable, wouldn't you think?
No, absolutely. I think they only had one team in the top six, and that was K-State. You know, and I think this is as good as a year for Kansas to have a real Big 12 title shot. And I think, you know, there's a lot of expectations, like we've talked about, that this team should be in the top three minimum, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think the over-under for their win total is, what, 9 or 8.5?
Eight and a half.
So, you know, the expectation is they should be winning more than they're losing, you know, right. by quite a bit. And I expect if Jalen stays healthy that they'll probably be at the 10-11 win mark, which tells you how far they've come.
Right. You know, and as somebody who grew up, you know, watching KU football, you know, the expectations have never been, oh, man, they could compete for the Big 12 title this year. I mean, you know, I was in kindergarten for the Orange Bowl year. Nobody was talking about them having an Orange Bowl year like that. So, you know, what kind of vibes are you picking up just like from the Lawrence community about football? Because there's a lot of excitement about it in a basketball-driven community.
I think they're as hyped as they've ever been about football. People are asking about it. People are wondering when, you know, they could buy season tickets, when they could go to Arrowhead. They're trying to figure out their move. I think there's a lot of hope that this football team is going to deliver on, ideally. And, you know, I think they've built so much tremendous momentum under Lance Leipold and the staff that, you know, they want it to keep continuing. You know, the expectation is to be even better than last year. And that's pretty high. They won 9 games last year. They lost 4, you know. So I think they're hoping that they can continue to build upon what had happened the last 2 years. And, you know, this Leipold tenure has been so successful for that reason.
Yeah, and unbelievable. And, you know, obviously, along with him rebuilding the program, they're rebuilding the stadium, and this upcoming year they aren't going to be playing games in Lawrence. Just, you know, what kind of difference can people expect to see? Just, you know, maybe not being at the games, but just from a player standpoint, playing coaches, just entire operation standpoint.
Well, I mean, you get the chance to play at Arrowhead. I mean, I think that's a cool recruiting tool, especially if fans fill it up and the chance to kind of, you know, be like, oh, this is, you know, yeah, this is Missouri, but this is still Kansas's backyard.
Right.
You know, you're not seeing that a Missouri team play at Arrowhead like that. You're going to be right. Kansas. And I think the hope is you can build off the momentum you have in Kansas City for the upcoming year. Not this year, but the next year when they can play in the newly renovated stadiums, right? Like if you come in and you win 11 and you're on the road in Kansas City, you know how hyped
you know,
opening day is going to be, you know, first game is going to be in 2025.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That would definitely be a sight to behold. And, you know, just, you know, like I said, I've never seen hype around this football program like that in my entire life. And granted, one of the younger guys here at Big 12 Media Day, both of us, but, you know, I mean, it's just, Kansas football is on the map, and you can feel it walking around here.
Absolutely. I have friends texting me, asking me, what do you think about Kansas here? They have been hearing good things about Kansas here. You know, you don't have that hype. You know, even 2 years ago, if I was, you know, right before they got to a bowl game, I think nobody would have been like, oh, Kansas. But now everyone's like, oh, dude, you cover Kansas? Now it's not just asking me about basketball. They're asking me about football, too.
Right. Yeah, I was a student at KU during the time. They had Late Night in the Fog, which was the opening of the basketball season at KU. And then later, that was on Friday night. Saturday was College Game Day, which was like absolutely bonkers because they're getting ready to play TCU. Mm-hmm. And they just opened basketball season where they unveiled a national championship banner. I mean, what a crazy time to be around in KU. And, you know, it hasn't dwindled as much as it definitely could have, you know?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think it's so cool that momentum has been built so entrenched into this football program. And Lance and his staff are a tremendous reason why, but also the players have gotten better over the years. And, you know, the continuity they've had is so big. I think Shehan Jarania from CBS asked us, like, how do you have so few guys transfer out? And I think that's a testament to Kansas' football program in this day and age filled with NIL. It's so easy for guys to leave the program, but the fact they've stuck around and, you know, been through the bad times,
right.
Let's say, you know, and they get to reap the benefits now.
Yeah, I mean, Devin Neal was part of a 2-10 team, and now he's getting ready to become Kansas' all-time leading rusher, barring an injury. And, you know, just a unbelievable turnaround that's taken place in Lawrence.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to watch them this season. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think Jayhawk fans are going to have a ton of fun as well.
All right. Well, thank you, Shreyas. Shreyas, a beat writer for Kansas at the Kansas City Star, does great work. And we appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.